So in our readings, we're skipping pretty fast through the book of Exodus, which is the story of the people of Israel's journey from Egypt to the Promised Land. Last week, we heard the story of Moses in the burning bush, where he was out tending his sheep and he's called by God to go to Egypt and confront the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, to let the Israelites leave because they're oppressed there. And now we've kind of skipped ahead to the point where the Israelites are about to leave. And so we've skipped a whole bunch of the story, but we pick it up where this terrible cataclysm is about to befall the land of Egypt. But God has made a promise to his people that this cataclysm will pass over them. This is the sort of the central story, this Passover story for our Jewish brothers and sisters. And as inheritors of the people of God from them, this story serves for us as sort of an archetype of God's work in the world. That God's promise to God's people stands sure and fast in the face of whatever may come our way. And so this terrible cataclysm is coming, this death of the firstborn of the land of Egypt. And the Israelites are given this command to sacrifice the lamb and to roast it and to be ready to depart at a moment's notice. And to take the blood of the sacrifice and mark their doorposts so that the angel of the Lord will know that they are marked as the people of God, the recipients of God's promise. And so the angel passes over them and they are able to leave to go to the Promised Land. So this is the story of how God works, that God's promises are true, they can be relied upon, and that God's people are always held in God's care no matter what happens to them. And though the journey that they're about to face is going to be a difficult one, God will continue to remain with them. But let's think a minute about the Israelites in the land of Egypt. Remember that they came as Israel's family originally. The son Joseph had gone ahead. He'd been sold as a slave to Egypt, but he had risen to prominence to the point where he was the Pharaoh's right-hand man. And when his family was facing famine in the area where they lived, they came to Egypt and Joseph welcomed them, even though they had sold him into slavery. And they grew there and they prospered and they did well. And now we're generations removed from that story. The Bible tells us when the rulers of Egypt no longer remembered Joseph or the promises he had made. And these Israelites, they had lived in Egypt and they had grown and thrived and prospered and they had added so much to the life of the land of Egypt. Their work had built the cities of Egypt and they worked the farms and they grew the prosperity of this land. But the Egyptians, they were locked into a way of seeing the world that said that if the Israelites gain, surely we lose. They couldn't see that together they could prosper even more. Because God had sent the Israelites, they had the potential to be the sign of God's promise in that land. And if the Egyptians had not hardened their hearts, had not had seen the world in such a zero-sum point of view, everybody could have lived into God's promise of prosperity and the thriving of all. But the Egyptians rejected that invitation, that promise that the people of God in their midst offered to them. And they oppressed them sorely. They turned them into slaves and they worked them nearly to death until God heard their cries and agony and sent Moses to bring them out of that land and to go into another land. As Christian people, the story still kind of lives out for us. In a way, as followers of Christ, we are a pilgrim people. We're not people of any one particular place or people of any one particular time, but we are a community that is always in motion. And that our true allegiance does not lie with the place of our birth necessarily, but with the kingdom of God and the one Lord that we proclaim, Jesus Christ. And in the same way that the Israelites marked their doorposts so that they could identify themselves as the people of God. Each of us is marked in baptism. That when we baptize someone from the little baby, or if we baptize a 100-year-old, at the end of the baptism, after we've poured the water on them, we mark their forehead with special oil called chrism. And we say, you are marked as one of Christ's own forever. And in that baptism, we are adopted into God's people. And that mark that we carry on us, that indelible mark as Christ's own forever, marks us in the same way that that blood of the sacrifice marked the households of the people of God in Egypt. In the same way, we are invited to be the sign of God's promise in the world in which we live, in this community in which we find ourselves, in this place that we call home. We are called to lift up God's presence through our actions and through our words and through our choices. And though just like Egypt, sometimes that invitation may be rejected, because the truth is that to truly live out God's promise is a threat to those who would seek power and dominion over others. And so the world, the powers of the world, are always threatened by the presence of God and God's promises. And so, like the Egyptians, we are called to be ready at any moment, staff in hand, sandals on our feet, loins girded. I've always wanted to gird my loins, by the way. I'm not really sure how to do that, but you know, it sounds really good. I think it's like you wrap yourself up, you're ready to go. At any rate, they're ready to go at a moment's notice. They've got their backpack packed. They've got their walking stick. They've got their shoes. They're ready to go. And as Christian people, we are called to be ready to go, to be signs of God's promise at a moment's notice. We are called and invited to hold up all that is good and true and precious in the creation that God made, to adhere to the commandments that God gave us, which are summed up by Jesus as to love God with our whole selves, which means to love the things that God loves and to love our neighbors as ourselves. That we are called to be people who seek always peace and reconciliation, people who want to see everyone thrive, people who are not like the Egyptians, locked into a zero-sum point of view where somebody else's gain is our loss, but to work always so that everyone gains and so that no one goes hungry, no one sits in fear, no one has to be oppressed and enslaved like the Egyptians did to the Israelites, our ancestors. And so, just as we are marked in the same way the Israelites were, we are God's promise. In ourselves, we are God's promise made manifest. And our invitation is to really live into that, and to see the wonders of the creation that we find ourselves in, and to not be deterred by the cataclysms that will befall us, but to be steadfast in our faith and remember always at the center of our lives is the relationship of God. That we are people who aren't just merely following someone, but we are involved deeply and intimately with our God, who loves us more than we can imagine. And there is nothing you can do, not one single thing, that would make God stop loving you. And that you are always invited and welcomed to be in the people of God. Amen.